everyone. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade from TimingResearch.com, episode number 70 for March 19th, 2019. Today we'll be discussing your trade ideas, and over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I've put the list together, which you should be seeing on your screen now while I'm talking. And we're going to go through as many of those as we can. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. But you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com. And John Thomas was supposed to be joining us today, but he wasn't able to make it. So Jim Kenny is here again, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jim.
Okay, thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to the broadcast here today. And these will be my views and my opinions on the individual stocks here, some of which I'm familiar with, some I'll just be looking at from a technical standpoint, and basically give you my take on what it looks like right now. Starting out, you can see the Dow Jones today was up at 26,100 at one point, but then definitely rolled over a bit. And the NASDAQ right there in front of you also was up near 77.70, and it came down pretty good as well. Bounced back at the end of the day in the last 30 minutes. A couple things just to get started before we get into the stocks. The China situation seems to be a little bit back and forth. They pushed back on some of the things that the U.S. wanted to have done, and so that was a little bit sobering. And then, of course, the Fed is going to come out with their announcement tomorrow, I believe. And there are some who believe that they're going to be a little less dovish than everyone running a town is screaming. You know, 90 days ago, there was going to be 3 or 4 hikes this year. Now they're never going to hike again, according to some people. So the bottom line is there been a very big volatility in what the Fed's up to. And I think they're going to come up with a little bit of a forecast. And the forecast may be somewhere in the middle of they're never going to hike again, and they're going to do 4 hikes. You know what I mean? So in other words, they're going to give, an opinion that if you were overly optimistic that rates are going to stay low and be low for a very, very long time, maybe they'll throw a little bit of water on that. And that might be explaining why the stock market rolled over just a little bit. Okay, let's take a look here at the first stock, which is GDX. And I'll give you a little bit. This is something I am familiar with. I do follow it. It is one of the sectors, material, precious metal type of sector that I keep an eye on. It's trading right now at 22.13. And this is the gold miners index. And again, it had been doing quite well as I've been talking to people, though I did say pause to refresh might be good. So taking something off the table on that last rally might not have been a terrible idea, or do some hedging where you can take advantage of calls being fat and puts being skinny possibly, and put a collar on something to try to bracket it. But certainly since last September, we have been going to the upside from 17, and then it went up to 18, and the higher lows and higher lows and higher lows. This recent drop here is one of the first times it took out the prior lows for a while. And then, of course, we haven't taken out the high. So that gives you some indication that the bloom's come off the rose temporarily. If we can start taking out and closing the 24 number, then I think it's back on the bicycle again. But right now, you'd have to be a little bit cautious on it because of the fact that, obviously, it did break that low and it has not taken out that high. The dollar, had picked up steam. That also put some water on this. Went up towards 98 on the dollar index. And now it's back in the 96s. Now, if you see that dollar index blowing out 95 or 94, then the dollar, in my view, might be legitimately turning down, and it may be very good for the gold. Of course, if that occurs, you'll be taking out 23, and then you'll be taking out 24. And sometimes I like to look at things on a longer-term basis, too, and you do that by simply going up here, and you look at the 10-year graph. There was a hedge fund that was announced in Bloomberg today that was very much thinking that in the longer run, being long the gold and not being exposed or doing some shorting of stocks longer term, 1-2 years, would be a macro trade that would be very interesting to them because of the fact that they believe that the cycles are coming a little bit to the end. And, they believe the insider selling that's going on right now. And they believe that the inversion of the yield curve, the 2-year is above the 5-year, further inversions could occur. And that has not been particularly bullish. Now, here's your long-term thing on the this GDX. So you can get above this 24, 25 area. You can see that resistance there. That would be very helpful. And getting above 30 would probably give you a good shot at 40 where those lows are. And then above that would only probably occur if your gold can go 14, 15, 16, 1700, you know, with some type of catalyst behind it. But, you know, it has had a good run, but it definitely looks like there's a pause to refresh on it. And basically, let me just take a look at some of the other things that I look at. You can get a little bit of an idea on what I'm looking at when I try to give an analysis. I go to the details of the stock, and here's some of the things you learn from that. You can see short interest is 8.31% of the stock. That's pretty high short interest. So short covering can certainly be beneficial to the buy side, because obviously those shorts, if they want to cover, would have to, you know, buy. And of course, if there's not many sellers out there, that volume can help make it go higher. The 50-day and the 200-day average are in a positive mode. 2187 is your 50-day average, and 2059 is your 200-day. So the 50 is above the 200-day, and that's not a negative. So that's why being optimistic on this is not unrealistic right now. That 20 mark looks like a great line in the sand. So defending it down towards 20 would be the thing to do, it looks like. And again, with the inverted moving averages, that's constructive. It does need a catalyst, again, a weaker dollar, maybe an inflation number to finally pick up. I don't know where these inflation numbers come from. I know wages are going up good, but I don't know that they're reflecting into the CPI. But when I go out and live my life, I see a lot of prices rising, but they're not being reflected into the CPI. So again, if that CPI would get a kick up like the wages did, you know, that would be very good for gold as well. Okay, so that's the look on it right now. It looks basically like if you're in there holding, you know, you want that 20 level to hold. And if you're in there and you want to do some hedging because you don't think it's going to break above 25 on this run, you could consider doing some hedging. And then, of course, if you are waiting for a more confirmed breakout, again, above 25 looks like the number. Okay, let's turn towards the next one, which is in semiconductors. And that is NVIDIA, which obviously has also been all over the board. The semiconductor index itself has. Let's look at that. Before we look at NVIDIA, let's look at the broader index, the semiconductor index. I've been watching this quite a bit, so you guys can get a look at this as well, because this is the sector that it's in. And so you need to have an old idea of what the whole sector is doing. Check this out. This is the VanEck SMH, and you can see it's been very volatile. You know, at the end of last year, we're up at 110, bam, all the way down to 80. That's a $30 drop, which is a pretty good percentage drop. And basically, to give you an idea, you're talking about a drop of 27%. Now, it came right back on the bicycle as everyone heard the Fed was on pause, and they're bingo, they're right back up again. And they're expecting monetary advancement in China and in Europe and other places. And of course, that might help the semis. And of course, that's why it's going up. Now, that's what the broad-based index looks like. Let's take a look at NVIDIA specifically. We'll get that one up and we'll take a look. Okay, NVIDIA. And by the way, this stock had a very good day today. You'll see momentarily. And just waiting for it to come up here. All right. While we're waiting for that, here we go. There you go. Okay, 175.71, and that was up, like I told you, 4% today. Obviously, a big move. It's also coming off of a huge drop. I mean, this thing used to be up at 292. It dropped all the way down to 120. 292 down to 120 is a drop on a percentage basis of 60%. You know, that's pretty close to a Fibonacci number. So maybe that's a reason why it bounced out of that neighborhood. And it certainly has bounced out of that neighborhood. But there's a gap that it's filling, and until it gets above 200. I'd be a little bit careful about being overly bullish on this thing, because really all it did here is go back to 180, and that's the low that it dropped down from. So it really is coming into resistance, and that's why in the aftermarket there's no follow through, and that's why we went up towards 177, but we closed at 175 and change. Now again, let's take a look at the tail of the tape here, as far as, you know, what does the internals look like on this thing. And the volume today, 21 million. Let's see how that matches up. Okay, 21 million is obviously obviously much higher than the 200-day average of 13 million and substantially higher than the 50-day average of 16. So what you got to be worried about here is what? That you're going into resistance between 180 and 200. The volume is screaming, right? And so high volume and then going into a resistance zone, if there's not any volume behind it, obviously the market may be susceptible to sellers at that point because the buyers have exhausted themselves a little bit. You know, 13 million shares, 200-day average, 21 million shares, they're jumping in there pretty big. Now, again, it could mean that it's going to keep following through. Again, getting above 180, I think, would be a key. Getting above 200 would be a key. Do I think those two things will happen? I think it's very much 50-50, if not less than that, because it's had a very big run in a short time, 120 up to where we are now. Short interest, not going to help you. 2.2%, that's not very big. Company is making money, that's great. And then the moving averages are sloppy, and that's why I'm always a believer that this rally we're seeing may not follow through. It may have a little bit more leg up to it, even as high as the former highs of 2940 on the S&P. But do I think it's going up towards 3,000 without a pullback? I don't think so. And one of the reasons I don't think so is that your 50-day average on this stock is 152, and your 200-day average is 209. Remember, I told you there's resistance 180, 200. And then basically, because they haven't, you know, they're still crossed to the downside, this market could very well go into a trading range of 200 to 150 and stay there for a while as these moving averages, you know, catch each other, you know? So basically, if I was going to be a guessing man, I would say staying in a trading range of 200 to 150 might be the call. And I think if you have gains on it on this short, big run-up, it wouldn't be illegal to investigate collars where you sell the out-of-the-money call and buy a put. And that puts parameters around your stock. But that's how I would see this right now. Certainly, it's had a very big rebound rally. But again, you know, it has come a long way in a short period of time. The sector itself is also up near its resistance zone, near the high area. So be careful and see how it goes. This week could be a little tricky. You know, if China pushes away from the table, what's his name? Powell comes out and starts talking in a more, you know, not as dovish as people are putting him out to be, then those could be two game changers as far as the short run's concerned. And that's where some short-term selling could come from. Okay, so there you go with NVIDIA. Looking strong, a very sloppy looking moving average picture, a very much a resistance in my view, technically at 180 and 200. And so, like I say, that's where it is right now. Turning towards the next one is telephone. A lot of people like telephone now. And one of the reasons they love it, of course, is that big dividend. And let's take a look at what telephone looks like now, and we'll get an idea. Telephone's at 3068. There's a lot of people who think that if you missed the move, this is one of the stocks you could buy into, because it hasn't moved yet. Now, again, they own DirecTV, which they're supposed to be monetizing quite a bit, and they were having some mergers and things, so there's been a lot of news and stuff. But the P ratio is 10. That's nothing to be afraid of. The yield on it, which seems to be safe as we speak, Lord knows if that's going to continue, is 665, and that number jumps out huge for anybody who likes to get cash flow on their money while they hold on to a stock. That's going to have to look good to somebody who wants a yield. Now, with regards to the chart, let's take a look. This thing has come down. You know, it's been coming down, but now it's stabilized. The lows for the 52-week is 2680. Okay, there you go. And it's been going sideways. So clearly, if you start breaking 32, you know, there'd be all this base of which to go on. And that could be pretty significant. So let's take a look at the internals under the hood and see what it looks like there. I like to follow the numbers because they're not going to be telling you the future, but they are going to give you the facts on the past, and they give you sometimes idea of flow of activity. Here you go. This thing is like, well, you saw the chart, it's going sideways. So what do you think the moving averages are? They're sideways. The 50-day moving average is 30 and change, and the 200 days at 31 and change. And so that's why if you can break out of this range here above 35, you know, you'd be looking pretty good. Volume's been drying up a little bit lately on a 50-day average versus the 200-day. That was the volume today. Let's take a look. Pretty light. Yeah, 26 million. So the volume's drying up down here, which means I would think somebody is waiting for something. They're waiting for some kind of news to come out, maybe on a merger that they've been working on or not working on, maybe on some kind of a Q1. You know, don't forget, Q1 earnings are going to be coming up not that long from now. We're already at what? Almost the 20th of the month. First quarter ends on 31st. Yeah. And so basically, you're going to be looking at, earnings coming out next month, and maybe people are kind of waiting on that. If the earnings come out the right way and this thing breaks above 32 and then breaks above 35, I think you're very much in the game. And at 665 yield, as long as that dividend remains solid, you're getting well paid to watch the movie, meaning you're holding onto the stock and you're collecting a dividend of 665. That's going to be attractive to somebody, unless, of course, they think the bottom will fall out. And if it takes out 26, 27, obviously that would be very negative for the stock and it would probably correspond with a bad report. But right now, there are some people who think this is not a bad place to take a bite out of it. So I can see why people might be in there. Again, the direction is sideways, so you can't really predict which way it's going to go. It's hard to say. But you are getting a good dividend while you're watching this thing. Okay, let's turn towards Visa. Visa is making money because consumers are out there spending their money and they are using Visa cards to buy things with. And that, of course, is helpful. 3.7, 3.8% unemployment. Can't be a bad deal for Visa because people have money because they're working, right? Okay. Now, of course, valuation is 34-1 PE ratio. That's not terribly cheap, right? And it doesn't pay any dividend to speak of at 0.65. So you're not going to buy it really for the income, and you're certainly not buying something that's terribly cheap price-wise. Having said that, this company, you know, had a big drop when everybody had a big drop in December, went from 150 down to 125. So you had an opportunity during that time to buy it at about a 16% discounted price. And now it's come up and made all-time highs. Or I don't know if it's all-time high, probably is, but certainly a high in the last 52 weeks up to 156. Again, if the Fed comes out and is not that dovish, and if China pushes away from the table and the trade thing looks like it's still going on, and people want an excuse to fill in the gap there between 147 and 148 or whatever it is right in there, then they're going to bring it down and fill that gap. And again, so when it's up here at these levels, if you think the bloom could come off the rose, this is where you'd consider doing some hedging. Boeing was one that I was talking to people about, and my opinion on Boeing at 440 was that it was 25% above its 200-day moving average at 350 area, and the likelihood that it might pull back. And this was before we had any problems with those planes. Of course, I didn't know that, but I do know that things happen, whether it be, you know, tragedies like that, or just simply, you know, they come out with a comment or whatever. You know, when things get way above their moving averages, they tend to sometimes gravitate back to them. So let's take a look internally on this Visa and see what's going on and see if there's anything under the hood here you should be aware of. Volume today was 8.7 million shares. Let's see how that stacks up. That's in line, right? 8.8, 8.9, 8.7. That's in line. No short interest to speak of there, so that you're not going to get help from them. And again, 34 doesn't strike me as terribly cheap. And 200-day average is 140. You're now trading at 154, so you're 14 bucks above it. And what does 14 bucks really mean? It means about 10% above. And so 10% is not excessively overbought, so that's not telling me too much. But like I say, if the board does roll over because of what I was mentioning, I would think Visa might be in that as well. But obviously, you got an inverted 50-day at 142. You have 140. That 140 should be pretty good support. So any pullbacks, you know, that would be the neighborhood where you would not want it to get underneath. And if it got underneath that, that might not be very good. Strictly if it got under there and stayed under there, that would not be good. That might call into question this whole rally. You know, big question here is, are we on a new rally to new highs, 3,000 on the S&P, and all these glorious things people are saying? That's door number one. Door number two is we got a bear market rally that's been very strong, very, very, very violent, and it's unsustainable, and it's going to roll over to the downside again. So whatever camp you come in, if you're in the camp of rollover, I would think Visa would be involved in the rollover. Okay, turning towards the next stock, what do we got? We got Delta Airlines. And Delta is one of the more respected airlines that we've got. It has been having a hard time getting going, like many of the airlines. If you look at, they've been up, they've been down, and pretty much flat for the last few years, I think. Right now, again, it had a big drop from 62 down to 46. And just to give you an idea, that correlates to about a 25% drop. So that's a pretty good sized drop. Now, it looks like it's trying to bounce back, but it's having a tough time at 52. Why at 52? Because over here, you see the lows right around here, around 52. So that's the reason why you're having some trouble here at 52. You see that high point surrounded by low points? If this thing takes out 50, I would say that 52 may hold for a while. And if it takes out 48, then you're in deeper sell-off there. there. But these airlines seem to be busy, you know, so, you know, the revenue should be there and the earnings should be there, but only time will tell. Let's look under the hood, see what's going on behind the curtain on Delta. And what do we see here today? Volume was 5.4 million shares. Okay. And what does that mean here? It means it's a little light. Look, 8.2. So we're running out of volume here. The market rolled over a little bit. He comes out with a dovish statement, possibly. I mean, a not so dovish statement. And China pushes away from the trade deal. You know, you got enough there with the VIX down at wherever it is, 12, 13, 14, that, you know, it could be vulnerable up here. 28.55 has been the high on the S&P. With regards to this stock here, though, where's your moving averages? They're inverted to the downside, 49.5 on the 50-day, 200 days at 53. You're trading 51. So again, staying above 53.50 will bring that 50-day average up, which would be helpful. And if it does get going up, going to the top of the trading range of 60 probably is not off the table. So be careful on this one if you want to see if you might be able to get in. Trying to get it if it can break above 52.53 and then play it for 60 might not be the worst thing in the world. And then, of course, you know, if you're concerned that the bottom could fall out for whatever reason, and the puts probably are not that expensive because it's not a tremendously volatile stock, you might consider a married put going way out in time. And then you'd have some kind of a defensive position against your offensive position. So you knew, at least you know there's a floor underneath your equity. You know, obviously, if you put a floor at 60 and you bought a put at, say, 57, you know, your floor is at 57. That floor looks pretty good today. So putting a put floor underneath it is not the worst idea in the world. It'll cost money because you have to buy the put, but you buy insurance on everything else, and then you write off that you don't use it, so that money goes up in the air. So why not from time to time insure your stock by buying some puts, right? All right. Again, let's take a look. And of course, oil being under control, under 60, between 55 and 60 is not negative for the airlines either. So if the oil gets above 60, that might not be so good for the oil, for the airlines. Keep an eye on that. Next one's going to be Qualcomm. Let's take a look at Qualcomm. They're involved in a lot of news in China, as you probably know. And let's take a look here. Their volume today was 8.7 million. This stock took a big tumble as well, right? 75 area, 76, all the way down to 50. So that lost, what, a third of its value. And now it's come back up to 56. Let's take a look under the hood and see what it goes there, because I'm no analyst on Qualcomm, but I can read the numbers. And what are the numbers telling me? Let's see. Oh, looks like I lost it there. Hold on. DAL. I mean, Qualcomm. Sorry about that. Okay, well, as we bring up the Qualcomm, let's remember that, again, they had lawsuits going and a bunch of other things going with regard to China. And I don't know the exact resolution on that. You people who actually own the stock probably know that better. So I'm just going to be talking from the technical picture of Qualcomm, meaning, you know, what does the actual numbers sound like on Qualcomm? Okay, we go back. We'll go to Qualcomm again. All right. And there's Qualcomm. Okay. And now I'm trying to get to the detailed quote. Let's see if they'll let me do that real quick here. There we go. Good. All right. Now let's take a look at what's happening with this thing. First of all, a short interest 290, not terribly low, but not enough to turn the needle. It has a great yield. 435 is a great yield. Of course, it dropped 35%. So 35% drop in a stock and you're making 4.35 is not the math you want to work with. Now, what do you got here? The volume drying up a little bit. Like I say, 15 million is the normal volume or average volume 50 day. You're at 8. So, you know, the volume's drying up. I don't know if that's good or bad. We'll have to see. But we will say this, the moving averages are inverted to the downside. And so, again, this is why I'm concerned about this rally, is because the moving averages that got inverted to the downside are still inverted to the downside. And my personal experience and opinion is when that happens, any big, big rally that occurs is generally followed by a pullback, because these averages tend to be turning when a real legitimate bull run is going on. And so we've had a very violent move to the upside. I'd be careful about this thing. You know, the S&P anywhere between where we saw today and 2940 be a tough area, I would think, to just continue on up ad infinitum without a pullback. So be careful. But like I say, you can't fight the tape either. The tape has been pretty strong, obviously, in the last 90 days. Okay. So anyway, you got the inverted curve there. It looks like 60 would be a rough area to get it through. That's also where the 200-day comes in. So that'd be my resistance in the sand. And then, of course, if this thing breaks 50, because there you got triple bottom, boom, 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 then that would be very negative. So bottom line is that's your parameters. Get above 60, you're probably looking very good. And if you get under 50, 50, you're going to go back in the Sioux probably pretty well as well. Good dividend though at 435, as long as they remain paying it. Okay, Bank of, this is Boeing. This is the one I talked to you about earlier. And this is the one that I had, that came off the screen to me because I saw how high it went. And again, this company's got great orders coming up and great cash flow. So, you know, you don't want to get too nutty because they have this issue going on right now. But obviously it's a tragedy. I'm sure Boeing is, but look at that volume. You know, people just dumped it. Look at it. That kind of huge volume and then holding the 360 area, you're going to see in a minute that the 200-day moving average is right around 356. So with that kind of volume, filling in the gap, I wouldn't be too negative on Boeing down here at 360. Not unless I saw it break under 360. This is a neighborhood where there could very well be a low area. But let's take a look at under the hood and see what's going on there. Again, not terribly expensive at 20 times earnings, and 220 is a respectable yield. Volume was 9 million shares and change today. Let's see how that stacks up when we go to behind the curtain. Yeah, right in line. 9.3 was today, and yeah, I'm sure the volume. It's very high still. It's above the average of 6.8 and 4.5. But that volume explosion you saw during the drop when the news hit—that is a lot of volume. And again, that sometimes is a lot of people getting out, right? So again, remember we were at 446, and I was talking to people at 440, and I said, "Look at your moving average. It was at 355 at the time. It's still 358, right?" So I don't think it's a coincidence that it's holding this 360 area. Now, with regards to what could you have done up at 446, you could have sold a call out of the money and bought a put with the premium, and then you'd be hedged during this entire drop, which you'd be feeling very good about. Now, if you're in there now, you've got to hope that this 360 holds up. And if you're a real believer in the company, you might check to see what the puts are going for. If you have the money to buy the stock, if it's put to you, covered put writing might not be something terrible to look at either, because the puts with this kind of a drop could be very, very fat. May not be. Only checking the prices will tell you. But there's a few strategies that I would be looking at, theoretically at least, if I was interested in Boeing. Okay. All right. So that's the story there. And again, it is holding that 360 area, and I don't think it's coincidental. As you can see from the numbers, they come right around the 200-day moving average. All right. Next one is CGC, and let's see what they're doing. Not a company I am particularly following, but Canopy, obviously in the pot business, and the pot business has been very good and it's been very volatile. So as you can see from this stock here, if you got in into 25, you were the proud owner of it 55. If you got it in 55, you were the proud owner back at 25. Now you're the proud owner up at 50, and it's trading at about 46. So, you know, again, this is an industry that is coming into its own. And when things come into its own, be it the tech industry, be it biotech, you know, or anything that has a lot of volatile news in it, you're going to get a lot of volatility in the stock. And there you go. You've got to be prepared to see your equity go up and down like the roller coaster at the amusement park. So again, let's see if the moving averages can give us some insight into a little bit of what's going on here. Is there a trend? You know, obviously, I would say that the market, you know, right now is in the resistance zone because that's where it's been. But these are the kind of companies that a couple of good news reports, you can blow out that and be up very sharply. It's not a bad size company. It's a $15 billion market cap. So we're not talking mom and pop here, but we are talking a company that's losing money. But again, you know, a lot of companies that are in the growth stage, they lose money and they go up anyway because people are betting on the come line, which means they're betting on the future. And if they're correct on the future, like they were on something like Amazon, then you can buy into companies that are losing money or showing losses anyway, and still come out on top. That's not always the case. Right now, you've got an inverted 200-day and 50-day average. So if you're looking for something to hold on to, you know, your 50-day average is 44 and your 200-day average is 38. So looking at the chart here, though, I mean, you know, it looks like if it broke under here, 45, 44, it looks like it could go right back towards 30. And likewise, if it breaks to new highs and above 60, there's nothing holding it. This thing is obviously a very difficult one to make any opinion on. I think it would be, you know, it's like a biotech. If they come out with the right thing, it's going to go through the roof. If whatever they're working on doesn't come through as well, it's going to be very, very volatile. But again, if you're following the moving averages and you're trying to find out if that trend is going to continue, the 200-day is at 38, which gives you something to hold on to. And if you wanted to keep it on a short leash, 44 is the 50-day average. Volume today is only 5 million. It's half what the normal 50-day average is. So I would say volume looks like it's drying up a little bit here. That's why you got to be careful when I say volume's drying up over norm and you're at the high point and the Fed's going to make an announcement and there could be or could not be a trade deal. And we've come up so far so fast. Now, you don't really want to hear the volume's drying up when you're at a high point. It could be like the oxygen's running out in the airplane. You don't want to be at 25,000 feet when that happens, right? Okay, take a look next at some of those companies. Some people just buy and put away and they hope that in 10 years, it'll be part of the revolution that started. That's another way of playing it. So that's just another 2 cents there. Next one I'm going to talk about is, I think this is Bristol-Myers. Now we're back into the medical area. And this one had a big merger, I think, with Celgene, didn't it? I believe so. And so this one had a lot of news in it for a while, but it really hadn't done much. You know, it's been right between 50 and 55. And P ratio 16, that doesn't sound crazy. 331, very reasonable dividend. So from that standpoint, it looks okay. Volume was 11.3 today. Let's take a look under the hood here and find out what that means and what other indicators we can see to give us an idea of where Bristol-Myers Squibb might be going. Good company, obviously been around a long, long time. So, you know, very, very solid company. That doesn't mean it can't go up and down in price, as you can see from the chart. So let's see if I can get this thing to give me what I want, which is the detailed quote. And it's not giving it to me, so I'll go back and I'll hit it again. This time, they'll be nice. Again, this healthcare sector, you know, it's all about a lot of these Alzheimer drugs and cancer drugs because of the aging population and because you're looking at a situation where, you know, they're looking to take advantage of the baby boomers and, you know, all the drugs and stuff that they're going to medical needs. They're going to have and try to profit on that. And obviously the Alzheimer thing is for that group. Okay, so pharmaceuticals, where are we here? We're at a company that's $81 billion, which is an enormous, enormous company. Hang on 1 second here. Yeah, $81 billion, enormous company. And the market's been kind of going sideways, right? Like I said, so what do you think the moving averages are? They're kind of sideways. 50-day average is at 50, 200 days at 54, you're trading 49. You're inverted and you're underneath both averages. I wouldn't be happy about that. The volume in the last 50 days has been enormous, but where's been the progress in the price? Not too much. So the bottom line is if everyone who bought in there with all this volume, right, 19 million average volume in the last 50 days because probably of this takeover they did, if they become disappointed, you know, that would be making this a little bit vulnerable. Me personally, I would like to see it closing above 55, and then I'd like to see it closed above 62, and then I would be more interested in seeing exactly, you know, what this thing is going to do. But right now, you know, to me, it would be a little bit of a stand aside until I got better price action, because I don't like the inversion of the 200-day and the 50-day, and I don't like the volume being huge with no price movement, and I certainly don't like where it's trading at 49. So I would probably, if I didn't own it, I'd certainly stand aside and wait to get better price action, and if I did own it, I'd probably investigate what a put would be going for, just so I have some insurance underneath in case people start looking at the deal they just did and say things like overpaid isn't going to work out, synergy isn't what we thought, blah, 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 because that would take the stock down more substantially. Okay, so let the price give you a little bit more indication if you're not in it. And then basically, if you're in it, start looking around a little bit to see if you think you might want to buy some put insurance. Okay, what's the next one up after Bristol-Myers? Microsoft. Okay, everybody's got to have a little piece of this because it's one of the biggest companies, if not the biggest company in the world, right? Let's find out. And also, it's very widely held in every fund that has to do with the S&P index and on stocks. So obviously, you know, when this thing goes up, that means the market's pretty much going up. When this thing goes down, it means pretty much the market's going down, generally speaking. So right now, it's way up here. It hit 118, closed at 117. It's come a long way, 95 up to where we hit 118. It hit the 52-week high today. So, you know, you can't badmouth something like that. It clearly has had a big run and, you know, to the tune of, you know, 20% or better. So you're looking at a stock that, again, 27 is not terribly cheap, but it's not crazy. 156 is the yield. So that is, you know, just nominal, pretty much a little bit better than nominal. And then the stock itself is at 117.65. Let's take a look at the moving averages and other details we find by scrubbing deeper and basically see what's going on. Okay, it has no short interest. I guess you wouldn't be short on things that are making all-time highs like this, right? So there's no short interest to speak of. Obviously making good money, 431 a share. And there's your P ratio, et cetera. Volume today, 33 million. So the volume's pretty good. It was a little bit higher than normal today. So if people are hiding out in anything, they're going to hide out in Microsoft because at 902 billion, it is the King Kong of stocks. Now, anything to be concerned about? Well, not really. The 200-day and the 50-day averages are inverted to the upside. So I would probably use this 105 area where it shot out from as my line in the sand if I was a holder of it. And if I did think that the market might roll over and not take out and not go up like many people think, we're going to go and test that high of 2940 on the S&P. If we're not going to test that high, then this thing is probably going to be vulnerable, and hedging it up here with some strategies might not be a terrible idea. You have to price these things out. You got to feel if they're suitable and right for you. But what strategy would I be investigating up here? It'd be hedging tactics, and I'd be hoping if I could get it to pull back a little bit if the market rolled over, and then I would probably be looking to come into it as long as I remain bullish on stock. But the point is this thing is very up, very strong, not terribly overbought. You know, one of them, I mean, it looks overbought. That's because it came out of such a low area, but the moving averages are not that far away from the stock. So looks pretty good, a little bit extended if we're going to have a rollover. And if we are going to have a little bit of a pullback, this will participate, but a great company making people great money. Look at that stock in the last 24 months. Boom. That's great, right? So bottom line, you can't really badmouth it, but as far as initiating positions up here, it would only be for the people who really think that the S&P is going to go up towards that high, maybe even take it out. Up and if you think there's any kind of a dip, this one will be affected, I believe. Okay. Next one after Microsoft, we already went over GDX. We got a double print on that. And so let's go over the other big one here, which is Apple. Apple is another one that was very extended on its 200-day average. I think the 200-day average were in the 170s, and we were up at 225. You know, you get 20, 30, 40% above the 200-day average, and the bigger the company, the further away you get, you're going to most likely, in my opinion, have a shot at going back to the average. Another example is Amazon. Amazon went to 2055. The 200-day average was 1,500 and change. That's 30% above the average. That's way, way overbought. And of course, then the news came out with this and that and the other, and bam, not only did you go back to the 1700 area, you went all the way down to like 1300. So that's why you got to be careful when these things get extended away from their 200-day average, in my opinion. Now let's talk about Apple. Apple's been making a rebound, and people are now starting to get bullish on it again. Of course, they're getting bullish after it's gone from 140 to 190, which is a very good size jump. How much of a jump is it? To give you an idea, it is a 35% jump, and now they're starting to say, hey, Apple looks good again. Might want to be careful. So again, so why did the company have such a big drop? When you announce you're not going to be in going over sales of iPhones, and some people tell me that's 60% of their revenue, that's not going to make people very happy. In addition to that, when you take your product and you price it very high and people don't want to pay that high price, that's not going to make them very happy. So those two things, in my view, were two of the main factors causing the big sell-off. Now, again, it got overdone in December like everything else did. Okay. Now let's look under the hood and see what's going on, volume and all the rest. Today, we did 30 million shares of volume. Okay. Now, this company is 886 billion. Like I say, I think Microsoft's number one now. All right. Now, what do you got? Well, you're coming up to 190, right? Guess where the 200-day moving average is? 190. Why do you think it might stall out up here? Well, that's one good reason. I'll give you another reason, is that the volume is not, you know, particularly robust on a 50-day basis versus the 200-day. And the other thing is that the moving averages are still inverted, 166 and 190. Again, my feeling, and I could be dead wrong, because, you know, sometimes things happen that are unprecedented or things that are happening that are outside my wheelhouse. But, you know, my feeling is this is a very, very sharp rally that insiders are selling in into, and that has come up very, very fast. And every single person who was nervous 30 days ago, 60 days ago, are now ebulliently bullish. And that's a big change in sentiment. And if you want to know the change in sentiment, look at your VIX. Your VIX went down towards 12, 13. That's very low VIX. So that means that there's complacency all around the table, and complacency and high prices generally are very not good bedfellows, right? All right. So now what's the story here? You got short interest, not too much. Again, we went over the moving averages and the volume, right? So bottom line is this is a company that obviously speaks for itself. It's been a huge moneymaker, but not in the last year, right? So bottom line is it's having a bear market rally in my view, and the 190 area could very well be some problems for it, and we'll have to see. Again, if the whole board's going to keep screaming to brand new highs, you know, they'll probably jump on the Apple train. But again, China is a big factor for these guys as well. And, you know, there's a lot of, I'm sure there's a lot of competition from different services over there as well. So this one here, obviously, I'd be a little bit careful of, and I'd like to see it consolidate here, maybe between 175 and 200, and let it consolidate there for a little while, and then maybe take a bite out of the Apple a little bit further down the road. No pun intended. All right. Where are we? We are at Amazon. Oh, we're going all the big guys. Okay. And I can show you what I was talking about. Oh, got to put an A in front of that thing. There you go. All right. Amazon was up good today, $20, and volume was 6 million shares. That sounds light, but we'll find out. PE ratio is off the chart. That was another thing. The PE ratio on this thing when we were at 2050 was over 100, way over 100. And you're 30% above, 35% above your 200 day. I mean, you didn't need too many more signs to say this thing has a high probability of pulling back. What's going to make it pull back? Who knows? There's always something to make it go up. There's always something to make it go down. But when the technical picture is screaming overbought and the PE ratio is screaming overvalued possibly, then you got to be a little careful. Okay. Because again, when your PE ratio is up at this level, they don't want to hear any negative news because they're all on the come line betting, paying $100 or 100 to 1 PE ratio. You're all on the come line. They don't want to hear about any bad colors came up or any bad rolls came out. You know, 1761 is your Amazon. And again, you can see when it was up in this 2050 area, moving average was way down here at 1500. Imagine the market being up there and the moving average being down here and not doing some hedging, which is what I suggested people look into, which is your collar and your married puts. Now look at that all the way down there. Okay. Now we're bounced back up. And the fact that we got above 1700 is very, very impressive. It's very good, but it has to hold up here because if they brought it above 1700, just to stop out all the shorts, get everybody long and then dump it again, then all this is what they call a false breakout to the upside. And really the breakout is getting above 1800, as you can see. But the 1700 mark was a good resistance to break through, and it has done that. So you don't want to be too negative on it, that's for sure. Again, you had a big volume sell-off, right? Big volume sell-off. So there has been some selling. A lot of people are out of this stock, I would imagine, if they have not come back in. But there definitely was some huge volume selling going on there. And let's take a look under the hood here and see what their numbers look like. I'm sure they're messy because the stock's messy, right? Meaning the 200-day and the 50-day are probably somewhat all over the place. Now, you can see from this graph on the left, 1500 is a very big area. As long as we stay above 1500, this thing could be very, very good, okay? Because again, there's 3.7% unemployment, and that means people are working, and they have money, and people like to spend their money. And where do they spend their money? They use Amazon, right? Amazon Prime, Amazon this and that, right? Maybe they shouldn't have got into Whole Foods. That might have been a mistake. And but when you have this kind of money coming in, you could probably make some mistakes. $855 billion company. Okay. Now, what's the story? Okay. Well, you went up to 20, then you went down to 1300. Now you're back to 1700. So with a down and up, what's the middle area? Middle area is exactly where the 200-day average and the 50-day average is. 1650, which is a rising a moving average at this point, I think. And I know the 200-day is rising because I told you it was at 1550 about 90 days ago. So I can see that's still rising. So that's why you don't going to get negative on this stock by any means, particularly as long as it stays above 1500. And in a company like this, you got to give it hundreds of dollars $1 million of area of room to move, because look how it does move, right? But again, it is a retailing company, mixed retailing. You know the company, you know why, what it's into. And again, you know, it has had its correction. It's moving back up a little bit. And so again, if we have a big correction, I'm sure it might get hit. But if this market is going to go up and make new highs, it looks like Amazon will be part of that party. Again, moving averages, there's some lines in the sand to work with if you're trying to figure out where you would give it to based on the moving averages. That's where the moving averages are. And we had a 20% jump in the volume today, and that's not a negative thing on a big up move. So that's a good thing. So, and you can see from the graph that 1500 looks like it got hit, and it looks like it's trying to curl up. Again, you know, getting a little bit higher than here could get it moving again, but we'll have to see. Again, you got inverted moving averages here, so it is not uncommon that it might stay in a trading range of 1500 and 1800, something like that, for a little while it consolidates its activity. Again, this is a company where you can investigate the collar strategy when you're trying to protect yourself, because the premiums are so large on this thing that you almost have to do a covered right to get the premium to pay for the put. Again, when you do that, it does create a upside limitation on your stock, and it does give a downside floor. So it puts parameters around your equity. And again, that has to be what your goal and objective is if you're going to investigate that kind of strategy. All right, we got a couple more, and we should be okay. Let's turn towards Square. This is one that's very interesting because they are getting into the finance world with a certain niche that they like, and people seem to be on board with these people a little bit. You know, it's kind of the one of the modern payment services, right? Uses of payment platforms, and that's why it's done so good, because people are, you know, saying that they are in a certain sector of the economy that is not being served by Visa, MasterCard, or maybe even PayPal. And so they think that there's going to be a good revenue looking forward because they have no PE ratio, right? So people are betting on something. What they're betting on is that they have enough of a market share in the payment processing system that they're going to be able to make a lot of money. That's basically the bet. Now, how's the bet been going? Well, it went crazy, right? Went all the way up from 40 up to 100. That's a pretty darn good move. Well, how about losing half your value in a few months? That's not so good. Now you got about what? 25, you got another 50% to the upside. So, you know, if you don't like volatility, this wouldn't be your game. But again, when you got no earnings and you got a concept and it is a situation where you're betting on future growth and future business, and you think you're in the infancy of something big, you don't look at PE ratio. You don't look at yield. You're looking at just, you know, whatever the matrix is, the metric is of what? Of how they finance these, how they value these things. So right now, let's take a look under the hood and see what's going on. You had about 8 million shares done today. And let's see how that ranks. Light volume again. Yeah, see. So, you know, if this guy comes out with something that doesn't seem fit this week, the market is extended and the volume seems to be skinny on a lot of these companies. So if they get something that they don't like and Tom, Dick, and Harry want to get out of this big rally, I don't know how many people are going to be able to hold up this thing, because it came up so far so fast that you might have used up a lot of the short covering and the buying volume. So if it starts rolling over, the market makers may have to drop the bids in order to get a liquid market. Here you've got short interest, so not everybody's a believer, and that's probably what causes these volatile rallies as well. 9% of the stock is short, so that's a pretty hunky, hunk of amount. The company's not making money, as you can see there, but it's certainly not that far from profitability, it doesn't look like. Let's take a look at the moving averages. Again, right around, what did it do? It went down to 50, so like I've been saying, it went down to 50, right? The moving averages are at 72. Can you see that right there? 72. So at that point, you were $22 underneath the moving average, which means on a percentage basis, you were almost 30% under the moving average. That is, in my view, by definition, oversold. You got to start looking at the other side of the table. And obviously, it went back up to the moving average, 72. Went through it a little bit, okay? So right now, staying above 70 would be very important. Actually getting above where we are now into the 80s would be lovely. And then breaking 100 would be the way to go. If you start rolling underneath 70, I think that might not be a good sign. So I would use parameters of 70 and 80 as a parameter, and whichever way it went, I'd probably follow. So, you know, there you go. Gives you a little bit of indication on what that's going on. And again, it is a company that you're not like Amazon and other companies like it. You're betting on the future of what they can make this thing happen. And obviously, people that have been betting have made great money. Then they got nailed. Now they're making good money, and only time will tell how it'll transpire from there. All right, we got one last one here, and then we're going to wrap up. Next one is Shopify. Okay, Shopify, again, in the realm of chasing a dream, it is not making money, it doesn't look like, but that doesn't mean it can't make money. And again, here you go. In the last year, you can see it has gone from the 110 area up to 170, back down all the way to 120, or actually, you know, just go down to 130, back to 160, back to 120, up to 210, and now you are where you are. So again, this is one where if I was in it and I wanted to protect some of my equity, I'd investigate some of the hedging tactics that are available and see if they make any sense and see if you feel like that'll fit into your objectives. But this will be the neighborhood to start looking at that, in my view. Let's take a look at it was down a little bit today. Volume was a couple million shares. Let's take a look here at what the details are underneath the hood. Hold on here. There you go. Okay, so there's your volume at about 2.1 million. And where are you here? Short interest is 5.89. You know, just like Square, you know, there's going to be non-believers, or you're going to have people who are short against the box, meaning they own the stock and maybe they can't sell it, so they short it against the box to try to protect their equity on it. Stocks losing money, but that doesn't mean anything. This is obviously something, it's a software that they are betting on the future growth of. It definitely looks like it's broken above a lot of resistance, but here you go. You're at 200 and change. What did you hit, 208 today? 208. Minus what's the 200-day moving average? 154. And so divide that into your 208. You are 26% above the 200-day moving average. That's a little bit on the extended side. And that's why I'm saying somewhere in the neighborhood above 200 might be a time to do a little bit of protecting the values. Not a definite, you know, nothing's definite, but it is something that, you know, you might want to keep an eye on. And we are pretty much at the end of the broadcast. What I'd like to do, if it's possible, is to just let you know how you could contact me and ask me questions that you might have, either on the hedging tactics that I'm talking about or other things as well. Each and every week, I do have at least one podcast where I give you my views and my opinions on the market, such as the stock market and the interest rate bond market. Many of you people are in bonds. That's a big thing. And I give you an idea on that. I also follow closely the US dollar, which has obviously been banging up against 98. Now it's in the 96s. And I give you a view if it hits certain levels. That could be trouble for that. Obviously, the gold and the metals market, and finally, the oil market. So I do cover quite a bit, and I've been in the business for on this arena here for decades. And the website to go to so you can get the link is optionprofessor.com, OptionProfessor.com. That'll get you the link so you can go to the weekly broadcast. And again, if you have other people you know who are in the market and want to get another slant on what's happening out there, they could go to the podcast anytime they like by simply going to that website. So do encourage you to let them know about optionprofessor.com. If you have a specific question, simply shoot it out to me at optionprofessor@gmail.com. And when you do that, I'll try to give you a response to the best of my knowledge, or if I don't have the answer, I'll let you know as well. But again, today, as always, these are my views, my opinions, past performance, not necessarily indicative of future results. And if you're doing short-term trading or option trading, remember to use risk capital only. And I'm going to let it go now back to David with a couple of minutes to go so he can sign off. And I just wanted to thank everybody for being here today, and good luck and good trading. And we'll see you at the podcast.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Lots of great analysis for everyone. So just a quick reminder for everyone watching, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory or network. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to this or any of the past show archives. Be sure to join us for Forget News again next week, Monday, March 25th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Next Tuesday's episode of this show will probably be off, but I might have something else interesting for you all to check out next Tuesday, so be sure to watch your email for that. And like I said at the beginning of the show, John Thomas was supposed to join us today, but he had to take care of something else, so I'll have him back soon. And I just want to thank Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com for doing our analysis today. Thanks, and thanks everyone for watching.